The gifts may be opened. All of the family meetings may have been had. All the trees may have been taken down. But church, God is still good this morning. I know sometimes even I get a little bit of those after Christmas blues. You've had some time to spend together with family. I don't know why I'm a bobbing my head this morning, but I am. I just now caught myself. I know sometimes it hits you and you're like, well, this year's over and I really wanted to accomplish this and I wanted to do that and all those things. But I want to tell you something. We have something to be excited about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. And the fact that God is still good, no matter what's going on in our lives this morning, that God is still good. If you will take your Bibles, turn with me this morning. I'm going to turn to a scripture that I'm going to be all over the Bible this morning. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 is where I'm going to turn to. That's where this thought began this week. Earlier this week, I was reading and come across this scripture, and that's where this thought began. And it went in 14 different directions before I got what I felt like God wanted us to preach on this morning. So I do ask you to be much in prayer for me this morning as I get into God's Word and as we try to share a message with you. One that spoke to my heart and I believe will help us if we'll take this and let God speak to our hearts and use it in our lives. If you will, bow your head and pray with me and pray for me as we get into God's Word. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all your many blessings. God, I know I'm nothing without you. God, I'm nothing but an old sinner saved by grace, but I'm thankful that that salvation made me a child of the King this morning. I'm thankful for that salvation made me worthy to be in your presence. God, I want to thank you and praise you that I'm in your presence this morning with my church family. God, we ask your Spirit just to fill this place. We ask you to speak to our hearts, God, as we get into your Word, as we look at this thought that you've had on my mind and my heart this week, God. God, I pray that you'll help us to take this and apply it to our lives. Help us to live a life that's pleasing unto you. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be a day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. God, I ask you again just to help us to concentrate on you, to focus on you, and let everything that's going to happen tomorrow and after a while and everything else, let it go for just a few minutes and let you have free will and reign in our hearts and our minds for a few moments this morning. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. As we get into the lesson this morning or to the message, I want us to look at a couple of different things. Going to be kind of different style maybe than what I normally preach, and that's okay, but I do ask you just to be in prayer for me that I'll get all of this out the way that God's given it to me. But as I think about this being the last service of this year, the last service of 2019 that we'll be in together, you know, it's been a great year. There's been some trials, there's been some troubles, there's been different things, but there's also been some amazing, exciting stuff that's happened in our fellowship family. We've seen people come to know Jesus Christ in 2019. How wonderful and what a blessing it is to be a part of somebody coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But as we come together and it being the last Sunday morning service that we'll have together this year, may I go ahead and make an announcement that we will have regular service Wednesday night, and I encourage you to be here. We'll have a wonderful time on Wednesday night, but this will be the last service that we're in together in 2019, and as I look, and sometimes so many times we want to stop and we want to look back at 2019, or we want to look back at the year that we just came through, and that's okay. It's okay to go back and have some memories and have some time to look at what God's done, maybe some things that we would change in our life if we had the opportunity to as we go forward. But this morning, I want us to go ahead and begin to look forward into 2020. Now, I remember being young in elementary school. I remember being 7, 8 years old and them asking us to draw pictures of what we thought the world would be like in the year 2000. I remember drawing spaceships. I remember drawing flying cars. And we're not far from that. Matter of fact, Johnny Atkins, I believe they have a flying car. It just hadn't left the ground just yet. But at any rate, I remember drawing things that was just astronomical, you know, that it was just unbelievable, and some of those things have actually come true. And then as you think, well, we have moved into 2020 and what it would be like in 2020, and as I look at my life, there's been some things that have really changed, and then there's been some things that hasn't changed as much. It seems like every time at this year I begin to take sort of an inventory at my life and begin to think about the things that have happened in my life and where I want my life to go. And every year at this time, people begin begin to make resolutions. It's almost like the day after Christmas. You can guarantee as you watch TV that all of the commercials all of a sudden begin to point towards new treadmills, new workout equipment, new diets, new air, because everybody has got this big plan that next year I'm going to do this. You know what I was thinking going down the road even yesterday? I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm not going to do this, so that way I'm not disappointed in myself. But I said, you know what? I'm getting old and I'm getting a little, I'm out of shape. We'll just put it that way. I went and worked out with the kids at the gym the other day just in some basketball drills, and I was sucking wind pretty hard, and my kids were like, come on, Daddy, what are you doing? You know, they were just all up in the air. But, you know, I said, you know what? I need to start doing some things to get better in shape. And I said, you know what? If I would do one push-up every day and add one every day, by the end of the year, I would be able to do 365 push-ups. That's not going to happen. I can tell you that right now. I mean, Silas, he'll jump down the floor and say, hey, Daddy, you want to see him do the most push-ups? I go to the refrigerator and get a push-up and let him do the push-ups. I mean, that's just where we're at. But, you know, we always have these big thoughts of what we're going to do. And as we look into next year, my question to you is, what do you want to experience in 2020? This coming year, and this, I mean, we're getting ready to break into a brand new year, and I want to ask you, what do you want to experience in this coming year? And as we all sit in church together this morning, we would have very, very religious answers as we sit together. We would say, well, I would desire a closer walk with God. I want to make a difference in someone else's life and maybe someone's eternity. I want to raise my children in a way that will be pleasing unto God, in a way that puts Him first in their life. And I want to yield myself more to the Holy Spirit in this coming year. Would anybody say amen to those? Amen. Absolutely. Those are some things that I want in my life. And those are some things, if I even thought about passing that little index card this morning and asking you to write down three things that you want to experience in 2020, and I guarantee you that some of those answers would have been on those cards. But now as we look just a little different side of our life, let's look a little bit carnal this morning. We've tried to look on the faith-based side of our life. Now let's look just a little bit carnal this morning. And if I ask you, what do you want to experience in this coming year? I guarantee that all of the answers would point somewhere to this. I want to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. I want to have financial stability. I want my children to succeed, and we would have a different definition of success in their life than maybe in our faith-based side of our life. I want to have good health, and I want to make good choices in my life that helps me to succeed in my health and my wealth and in my wisdom. But as we look at our lives this morning, I want to ask us, which one of those are we putting more effort into? Are we putting more effort? And let me go ahead and say this. For us as Christians that we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, there are not two sides to our life. Jesus Christ bought all of me with His precious blood. He didn't buy a faith-based side of my life and a carnal side of my life. He said, I want your carnal side to go away, and I want it all to be faith and trust in me. So as we look this morning, I want to ask you something. Is Jesus getting His money's worth? As He bought your life with His precious blood, as we look at our lives, which one are we putting more time and effort in our daily life? Are we putting more time and effort? You was talking about work this morning in Sunday school. It's amazing how Sunday school ties in to the messages. You would think that we call each other, but it doesn't matter which class you go into. It always happens. But you would think that as we go in our lives, which one are we working more towards? Do we work more? We're not saved by works, but I believe that our faith produces works. But do we work more towards being a closer walk with God, making a difference in someone's life in eternity, yielding ourselves more to the Holy Spirit, or do we work more towards being healthy, wealthy, and wise? I know in my life that there are times in my life when it seems like I do have more effort toward the spiritual things in my life. And there are times when it seems like I have more effort toward the healthy, wealthy, and wise. But let me share just a couple of scriptures with you. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 10. Shannon's got these for us to save us some time this morning. But 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 10. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now look, it didn't say for money is the root of all evil. You can do some great and amazing things with money. But it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after... Listen, this is the dangerous part. When that money becomes so important that it gets ahead of everything else in our lives, it says, which some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. When that money gets to be so important that you're willing to let your faith life go, that you're willing to let your spiritual walk go, when you're willing to make decisions that you know are against God's will and God's word in order to have financial gain, I believe that the love of money has just come into your life. And the Bible tells us that the love of money and coveting that love of money, it says it will cause you to error from the faith. It'll cause you to get off track with God. So let's be careful with this healthy, wealthy, and wise stuff, because here's one scripture that tells us right off the bat that that may cause you to get away from the other things that we have as goals in our life. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 8. This may become my life verse right here. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Every time I think about going to the gym, I say, but you know that bodily exercise, it profiteth little. You know, I just don't know. There's also a verse somewhere that I can't quote it right off the top of my head, but it says something close to, for the wicked run when no one chaseth them. That's kind of another one of my life verses. But you look, hey, I think it's really important that we take care of ourselves. Hey, our bodies are now the temple of the Lord. The Holy Ghost lives on the inside of me, and I think it's important that we take care of ourselves. I think it's important that we do those things that we know to do and don't do those things that we know not to do. But the Bible says, for that bodily exercise profiteth little. I want to ask you something. Why do you start exercising? Most of the time, it's not because of your health. It's because of the way that you look. I know that was my case. I go step on the scale and I see a number that I don't like, or Autumn walks by. Hey, it hasn't been long ago. I was burning up in the house. Autumn's not here with us this morning. My girls are playing volleyball, so this is a safe time. We might already cut the live feed for just a few minutes. Not really. Well, I was laying on my wife freezes to death all the time. And I burn up all the time. I think God has a sense of humor and put us together and just smiles at how we are so opposite in that area. But I was laying on the bed and I had the fan wide open. Here she comes with flannel pajamas and I'm talking a coat on coming to bed. And I'm like, what in the world are you doing? I'm about to roast. And she cut the fan off and I said, honey, what are you doing? I said, I'm laying here sweating. Put some more clothes on, put a toboggan on, whatever you got to do, but I'm sweating. And she looked at me and she said, well, you know what? If you lose a little weight, maybe that would help you. I don't know where that come from. And if I told that story and she was here, she'd be mad because she said, that's not what I said, but that's what I heard. That is exactly what I heard. And, you know, I said, well, I might already get in a little shape. I haven't done it yet, but that's my plan. But I look at this and I say, you know, we do that because of the way that we look a lot of times, or the way that somebody else perceives us. But you know, what about our spiritual life? What about the way that God perceives us? Would we be willing to get in there and work to improve the way that God perceives us? But look, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Man, if we would put the effort into our spiritual life that we think about putting into our physical life. Notice I said we think about. Because a lot of times that's what happens to our spiritual exercise also. We think about it, man, we want to, but we never dive in and do it. So we've seen that as far as the healthy, wealthy, and wise, we've seen that the financial stability or maybe, and when we're striving for that, that it can become an evil in our life. We've seen that the bodily exercise profiteth little. Proverbs chapter number 3, we're going to read verses 5 through 8. The Bible says, trust the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. If you really want the healthy, wealthy, and wise, right here was the recipe for it. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Because we get sometimes to where we want to be wise, but we're looking for wisdom in what the world calls wisdom, not in what God calls wisdom. I want you to know something, that wisdom only comes from God, and I believe that God reveals it to us in His Word, how to be wise. There's nothing wrong with more education. There's nothing wrong with trying to be smarter and improve yourself in your work situation or whatever. But I want to ask you, how much time do we spend right here saying, God, pour wisdom into my heart, pour wisdom into my spiritual life? That's where we need to be looking for our for our healthy, wealthy, and wise. So I want to challenge you with something for just a few minutes this morning as we look at this and as we look at our spiritual goals in our life and what we want to experience in this coming year. If it is the things of the world, I want you to stop right now and say, God, help me that the things of this world don't mean more to me than the things of God. You won't be the first that had to do that. I've had to do that so many times in my life because I start on the right track and the next thing you know, I veer off. But as we look at this morning, I want to challenge you with something this morning. I want to share with you just a few scriptures this morning as we look at this. As you're looking at what you want to experience in 2020, at what you want to experience in your life, I want to challenge you to have the desire to experience the power of God on your life. You say, uh-oh, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? I want to challenge you and I want to challenge myself that this year the most important thing in our life is that we experience the power of God in our life. That we have an opportunity. You say, well, preacher, you're going to have to tell me a little bit more about that. Sure, I'll be glad to. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 16. The Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want to challenge you, if you're here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the best thing that you can do to experience the power of God is to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. To realize that you are a sinner, that you're lost, and you're on your way to a devil's hell. Not a place that was created for you, but it was created for the devil and his angels. And if you're here this morning and you have never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, the first step to experiencing the power of God in your life, it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I want to tell you this morning, the gospel is as simple as this, that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he was willing to come to this earth to give his life on a cross, to bleed and die there on the cross for your sins, that he was buried there in a tomb, and 3 days later he got up again in victory for you, that you may come to know him in a personal relationship and have eternal life through him. That is the gospel and the power of God this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the first step to experiencing the power of God in your life is you have to know him as your personal Savior. Hey, do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember the day, the night, the morning, the whatever it was, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you not remember how you felt the power of God at that very moment? Do you not remember? Hey, you may not have known, you may not have understood the scriptures, you may not have known a whole lot about the Bible, but one thing that you knew is that God spoke to your heart, and 1 minute you felt guilty for your sins, you felt like you needed forgiveness of your sins, and the next moment after you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, you felt clean, you felt washed, you felt that you'd been in the presence of an almighty God. That's the power of God that we need to experience in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross. Now listen, if you're here and you start talking about the cross out here in the lost and the dying world, they think it's foolish. When you start talking about Jesus Christ giving his life on a cross, they look at you like you're crazy, because this is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I want you to take some time through this year. Every time when you feel like life is getting heavy, every time when you feel like maybe you're not being successful, every time that you feel like that nobody else cares and nobody else knows what you're going through, I want you to go back to the cross, not for salvation again, but to remember the power of God that was there on that cross, that Jesus Christ gave his life for you, washed your sins away, wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is where the power of God begins. Again in my life, I want you to take Satan. That's what it is. When Satan comes to you and tries to make you feel those ways, I want you to take him back to the cross and remind him of the power of God. I want you to experience the power of God in your life this coming year. I want to experience the power of God in my life. That is something that will bring salvation, and it will bring us as Christians to a place to where we can remember our salvation. The power of God will give you strength. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 4. The Bible says, For though he was crucified through weakness. Let me stop right there. Christ didn't have a weakness. It says, though he was crucified through weakness. You want to know what that weakness was? That weakness was your weakness and my weakness. The fact that we didn't have the ability to live a perfect life. The fact that we had sin and he had to take my weakness and he had to take my sin upon himself, that became his weakness. If there was anything that you could claim that he had a weakness of, it was loving me way too much. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. I'm glad this morning that the power of God gives me strength. The power of God allows me to live. The power of God to give me a brand new life. Even at the age of 7, I was given life. I was given eternal life that nobody can ever take away. It doesn't matter what anybody on the face of this earth does. They cannot affect my relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. He says, though he is crucified through weakness, he liveth by the power of God. For we are also weak in him, but we shall live with him by power of God towards you. The power of God will give you strength. Walking a Christian life is tough. It's hard. I know as I look into 2020, I would like to say, I'm going to live that godly life. I'm going to live that life that stands out above everybody else. I'm going to live that life that doesn't show any weakness in my Christian walk. But you know what? The reality is that I am. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to fall. I'm going to come short. But I'm glad that God says, I'll give you strength through the power of God this morning. His only weakness was loving me too much. There is strength in the power of God. Sometimes I feel weak as a Christian. Sometimes I feel weak as a pastor, as a dad, as a preacher. But I'm glad that my power is not by me. Because you know what? If it was all in me, I would fall. I would fail. I would be destroyed. I am no match. I'm especially no match for Satan. But I'm not even a match for this world. But I'm glad that the power of God that's on the inside of me is where I get my strength from. It'll bring salvation. It'll bring strength. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, as this being written, it's not that he couldn't have come to them with excellency of speech. It's that he decided not to. So look at verse number 2. For I determined, or I decided, not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. If we want the power of God to be real in our lives, we have got to understand that Jesus Christ is the most important thing in our life. I'm not good at that sometimes. The situation, we are such a right now people. Lord have mercy, everything has changed so much. I watch my children and I can see times changing so much. Maggie, she watches these TikTok things all the time. If it's something bad, somebody tell me. I know there's probably something bad in there, but she watches these TikTok things all the time. And I took some video of her yesterday. She's supposed to be standing on the volleyball court, and she's supposed to be judging lines, you know, whether the ball's in or out. And I look out there, and they're in the middle of timeout, and she's duck walking or whatever they call it. I can't do it. That's about as close as I can get. And next thing you know, she's got that flag, and she's just a dancing. I'm like, what? Whose child is that? That's not my child out there. Y'all pray for Maggie. No, I'm playing. She's so full of life. But things have changed so much, and it seems like it's such an unstable world, and it's such an unstable place. And when you turn on the TV, even in more serious matters, you look and you say, man, this country is as divided as it has ever been before. That things are so left and right as it's ever been before. That one side hates the other, and the other side hates the other more so than ever so before. And it seems like there is no stability. But I want to tell you what, there is some stability in the cross of Jesus Christ. It has never changed. It will never change. The grace, the love, the mercy that Jesus Christ had for us on the cross, that will stand stable forever and ever. There is stability in the cross of Jesus Christ. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The reason that he was crucified will never change. The effect of him being crucified will never change. And the result of him being crucified will never change. They will never, ever get him back in a grave. He has risen victoriously. Verse number 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. You know, sometimes I think we try to get so enticing with man's wisdom that we forget about the simple truth of God's word. We forget about how simple it is that, I mean, even young kids understand how to come to know Jesus Christ. He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Don't stand in the wisdom of men. Hey, when you turn on the TV and they start talking about the glaciers melting at a quicker pace than they've ever melted before, and the ozone got a bigger hole in it than it's ever had before. Hey, I'm not saying that the things that we've done here on this earth has not affected anything. I'm not saying that at all. But I don't care how much it's been affected, I know who's still in control of every bit of it. If he wants the glaciers to quit melting, the glaciers will quit melting. If he wants the hole in the ozone to seal up, he'll seal it up. But I can tell you one thing. One day, fire and brimstone is going to rain from the sky and all this is going to melt away with a fervent heat. But I'm glad I'm going to be in the presence of God when that takes place. But there's stability in the power of God, in the cross of Jesus Christ. There you can have salvation and you can have strength. You can have stability. Things that this world cannot offer, even though we seek them so much. We seek after stability and financial success. I've heard people say all my life, oh, you need to be sure that you're financially stable. And man, I get to a place sometimes and I think, okay, I've got a little nest egg right here. And then a little something happens and the nest egg's gone and I'm no longer stable. And then I save up a little more and I say, okay, I'm stable again. And then the car tires up and I'm no longer stable. And then I look and I got three kids that want to go to college and I got this going on. I'm nowhere near financially stable. I'm financially blessed this morning, but I'm nowhere near financially stable. And it doesn't matter how much you put back. It doesn't matter how much you have. One little thing here on this earth can wipe it all away. But I'm glad to know this morning that there's nothing on this earth that can happen that can hinder my relationship with Jesus Christ. There is stability in the power of God and salvation and strength and stability. Stability in the power of God. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'm almost done. Verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Have you seen anything that these scriptures have in common? They're all talking about Jesus Christ being crucified, being resurrected. It's got the gospel all in it. That's where the power of God is. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There is salvation in the power of God. There is strength in the power of God. There is stability in the power of God. And there is security in the power of God. I'm glad that it's not up to me to keep myself this morning, but I am kept by the power of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what keeps me. Now, y'all know we've had this discussion many, many times. Somebody that tells me that they know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they live out here in this world like hell and the devil, and they have no conviction about it whatsoever. They have no remorse about it whatsoever. I firmly, firmly question their salvation, that they ever had a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know. Only them and God know. Because I'm going to tell you something. That when I do wrong, there's something on the inside of me that goes to churning and drawing me back to my correct relationship with Jesus Christ. But there is security in knowing Jesus Christ. I have an inheritance and I am kept by the power of God. This year I want to experience the power of God in my life. To know I got salvation at the age of 7. But I want to be reminded of the strength that is in the power of God. I want to be reminded of the stability that is in the power of God. Of the security that is in the power of God. Because this year coming up, I don't know what's going to happen. It may be the best year we've ever seen. There may be financial gains hand over fist. There may be health, things that happen in the health industry that just changes things dramatically. There could be cures found this year. All of those things could be wonderful and everything could be just fine and dandy. And then again, this could be the worst year we ever seen. You say, well, preacher, you shouldn't talk like that. You should speak positive and all that. Well, I can speak positive all you want to, but things can still happen. But what I can tell you won't change is the fact that Jesus Christ gave his life for you, that you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he offers you strength, stability, and security through the cross of Jesus Christ this morning. I don't know what's going to happen this year. No clue. And I'm not going to watch the news to find out either. It's just going to have to happen. But what I am going to do is do my best to put my faith in my trust in Jesus Christ. Lean not unto my own understanding. Trust in Him. Hannah, if you will come get us an invitation to Him this morning. This year, I want to challenge you to experience the power of God. First of all, we know the step of salvation. But then, Christians, maybe y'all are not as guilty as I am, but I feel like we all kind of live on the same playing field. We all row in the same boat from time to time. I want to encourage you, to challenge you, whatever you want to call it. I want to challenge us together that we don't look for our strength and our stability and our security in this world. We're supposed to be pilgrims and strangers here, just passing through. I'm not saying, y'all know what I'm not saying. I'm not saying don't plan. I'm not saying all those things. But what I'm saying is don't make this number one. Don't make this the most important thing. It's hard to do sometimes. We get caught up in the moment. But I want to, as I go into this coming year, I want to seek the power of God to be real in my life. Because I want to show you what happens. When the power of God is real in me, you'll see it in me and it will affect you. In some way, it will affect you. As my church family, if y'all see me trusting in the power of God and experiencing the power of God, I'll keep this world out of my life. My messages will be more powerful. I'll have a love for loss like I need to have. And I'll have a love for you as my Christian brothers and sisters like I should have if I experience the power of God the way that God wants me to experience His power. This lost and dying world will see me, whether things are good or whether things are bad, they'll see me trusting in God for my strength, my stability, and my security. As you stand to your feet this morning, Hannah's going to sing in just a minute. I don't know where you're at in your life, no more than you know where I'm at. But as you take a quick second to look back at 2019, did you experience the power of God in your life? As we look into 2020, are you looking to experience the power of God, or are you going to be satisfied with just the health, the wealth, and the wise? I don't want to settle for that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when we decide that the things of this earth are more important than the things of God in our lives, we as Christian believers are settling. We are saying, God, I know you got it all, but I'll take this over here. Don't settle. Go and experience what God has for you. As Hannah sings, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I encourage you to come and experience the power of God on your life. If you're here this morning and you're saved, maybe you found yourself in my boat, looking to the things of this world a little too much. Or maybe you just want to come and pray and say, God, this year, I want to experience your power in my life like never before, that I may make a difference in someone else's. This altar is open. Praying, and we begin to close service. You just stay there till you get done talking to God. If it takes till whatever time tonight, you stay till you get done talking to God. Thank you for your attendance, for your attention this morning.